In the aftermath of the death of Peter Kasich, the third American to be killed by the Islamic State, reports emerged this week that the Obama administration will conduct a full review of U.S. policy on negotiating with terrorists in hostage situations like Mr. Kasich's. And that review has actually been in the works since the summer. The review was disclosed in a letter from the Defense Department to Republican California Congressman Duncan Hunter, and it calls for specific emphasis, quote, on examining family engagement, intelligence collection, and diplomatic engagement policies, end quote. Now, you're thinking about one thing, which is ransom. Now, unlike some European governments, which have paid millions of dollars in ransom, the U.S. government has strict rules of not negotiating with captors and not paying. But that doesn't preclude private firms from negotiating on behalf of hostages with insurance. However, that's something the White House advises against.
Our views on this are clear, and the president continues to believe, as previous presidents have concluded, that it's not in the best interest of American citizens to pay ransoms to any organization, let alone a terrorist organization, that is holding an American hostage. And the reason for that is simple. We don't want to put other American citizens at even greater risk when they're around the globe.
White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest briefing reporters there on Tuesday. Joining me now to weigh in on the hopes for a revamped policy is Christopher Voss. He's a 24-year veteran of the FBI, where he served as lead international hostage negotiator. He's now CEO of the Black Swan Group, a negotiation advisory firm. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you, Todd?
I'm well, thanks. The White House, once this review was revealed, was quick to say that it does not include a revamp of the policy of no ransom. Is that a good thing?
It is a good thing. I mean, the issue really is whether or not they're going to use communication as a means to gather information.
What does that mean, use communications as a means to gather information?
Well, actually, you know, the policy is not that we won't negotiate with terrorists. The policy is that we won't make concessions to terrorists. And if you include the idea of communicating without making concessions, it speaks to your definition of negotiation. But you shouldn't be afraid to communicate with anybody. And sometimes the policy is misconstrued to make it sound as if we're afraid to talk to people. And sometimes it's enacted in that way also, that government acts like it's afraid to talk to people. We shouldn't be afraid to talk to anyone.
In the aftermath of some of the horrific beheadings that the nation has watched on YouTube, from ISIS in Iraq and Syria, there have been complaints from some of the families of the victims confronted with these tragedies, saying that the U.S. government seemed concerned, sad, but that hostage situations were fairly routine. That was the family's assessment, that the U.S. government wasn't really serious or urgent about ending these situations because they didn't want to negotiate.
Well, that's an interesting interpretation of a lack of involvement by the U.S. government, and probably they had reason to feel like that the government wasn't particularly involved in helping them, because I don't think they've gotten a lot of help in the recent cases.
Meaning that the government was remote and feeling like its hands were tied, so the families felt like they were on their own?
Pretty much, yeah. I think the government recently has not known what to do, has not supported the families well. I don't think that they thought that if they can't mount a military strike immediately or conduct a rescue immediately, they see it very black and white, don't see any gray, and can't see a way how to help, how to try to engage in any sort of a communication process that might have other outcomes other than the payment of a ransom. So I think the families have not been supported well in the last cases.
I mentioned private insurance companies a minute ago. How do they complicate this process? Of course, you can imagine the State Department, the White House saying, you know, this really undermines our policy, insurance company, if you're negotiating for someone's release, since you're the one with the money, please don't do it. But they can't really stop them, or can they?
They probably could. They could probably threaten to prosecute them, and then families would who were going to pay ransom would find ways to pay ransom on their own. It's not really very helpful, and they can't stop the insurance companies from having consultants that support the families in other ways. It's kind of watching a robbery happen to someone, and these families are victims of crimes. It's not just their family members that are being killed, but the entire family is being victimized. And for the government to stand back and say, not only we're not going to help you, but we're not going to let anybody else help you either, is just not good for its citizens.
So, Christopher Voss, what needs to change now? If nobody's going to change the policy of not paying ransoms, which is understandable, what does the government need to be able to do differently next year, the next time one of these situations arises, versus the last terrible hostage situations that we've seen?
They need to not be afraid to open lines of communication. You shouldn't be afraid to communicate. Even if you don't like what the other side's saying, that communication process might support other outcomes.
Doesn't that often go on anyway? We saw the release of Bo Bergdahl a few months ago, which was controversial, but it was pretty clear that if the United States didn't negotiate directly with the Taliban, certainly intermediaries did negotiate. That must go on a lot.
That's a very good point. And there are always intermediaries that are engaged in these cases, trying to find other sorts of solutions, you know, some sort of a humanitarian option. There's always people that could use medical assistance. The Bo Bergdahl case is somewhat perplexing because no one, myself included, really understood the reasoning behind that or the rationale that was proposed and how that stacks up differently than these other cases. So, yeah, the Bergdahl case is an interesting case.
Christopher Voss is a veteran of the FBI. He served as lead international hostage negotiator. He's now CEO of the Black Swan Group. Mr. Voss, thanks.
My pleasure, Todd. Thanks for having me on.